We're still going to do things a little bit different this morning. I just told Bobby Bond, who is our head usher, that we're not going to be taking up our offering like we normally do, passing the plates down, but we're going to have, as a matter of fact, Bobby has got up at the back now, two plates sitting at the back door, so as you leave today, just drop your offering in. Just trying to be cautious. How many people here has your occupation or your job, has it been affected or changed? Let me see. Amanda, for certain, with American Airlines. Amy and Joe. Will, let's see, Danny. Wow. How many others over here? I saw Kathy back here, and who else? Chris. The virus that we're experiencing right now is physical. But it's going to impact all of our lives in some way, and we know that. Have you been to the grocery store lately? There are certain things you might intend to buy that just are not there. I was at McDonald's the other day, and the manager just stopped by to visit with me for a minute, and I asked her, had they seen much of a drop-off in business? She said, no, not actually, not yet. I said, well, is it impacting you? She said, yes. She said, people keep stealing our toilet paper in the bathrooms. She says, it doesn't seem like a big problem unless you happen to be the person in the stall where the toilet paper's been stolen. There's a lot happening. But in Christ, as His followers, we have clear guidelines in Scripture as to how we are to handle crisis. And it is not like everybody else does. We don't have to run to the store and buy up everything that we can find. First of all, it becomes kind of selfish. We don't have to panic and just reach our hands all the time. Oh my, oh my, oh my, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? I want to take you to a scripture today that I think just gives us such good direction as to how God would have us handle stress, crisis, and uncertainty in our life is found in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. If we've got that, I want you to take and pay attention as we go through this scripture. It's also in your outlines that we've put in the bulletins. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Now, I'm not going to preach through the entire passage, but I've just got to. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Where do you think Paul is while he writes this? Oh, let me think. Maybe he's in his easy chair in front of a fire. No, Paul's in prison. Paul's in chains for his faith. He's gone through difficult times, so believe me, he knows what he's talking about. Don't worry about anything. And then the big word, instead, pray about everything. Tell God all of your need, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. Paul starts off and he says, don't worry about anything. And yet we have a tendency, if it's not in our control, we worry about it. John Coleman, who was here in Sunday school, I heard him telling some of the guys that Saturday morning, I think it was Saturday, that he and his wife decided to go to Costco to pick up a few things. But to put things in his control, he said, we'll get there early before anybody else gets there and before the doors open. They got there a half hour early. They said the parking lot was full and the line wrapped around the building. Some things are out of our control. And what Paul says, it's okay. It's all right. He did not know his future. And in case you don't know, he would eventually be beheaded. But he says, you don't worry about tomorrow. Today, Jesus cautioned us, there's enough problems for the day without adding on the fears of tomorrow. People are getting pretty bad when they steal toilet paper from McDonald's. A big problem that we've got is this. When problems arise, we tend to become very self-focused. Me and mine. And we become very selfish. Someone was sharing with me the other day about a fight they saw starting in a grocery store over bottled water. People become very selfish. And remember this, the very heart of sin is selfishness. It's about me, it's about mine, it's about what I want, it's about what I want to do. Let's say that you go to the grocery store tomorrow and you walk down the aisle and lo and behold, they've just stocked and there's hand sanitizers, whole shelf of them. Let's say there's 20 canisters on the shelf. And you go there and it dawns on you, I'm the first person to see these today. So you just push up the buggy and you put all 20 of them in your buggy. After all, you might need them one day. Well, how about all the other people coming behind you needing them? Did we ever think about them? This is a great time for us to show compassion. Do you know any elderly who are at much higher risk? Do you know any? They don't need to be getting out going shopping. They don't need to be. Maybe you could call and check on them. Maybe you could go pick up some groceries for them. Because remember, it's not about you. Never was about you. And Paul tells us plainly, don't worry. God's in control. Basically, God's got it. Remember the story when Jesus and his disciples are in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the storm comes up? The disciples reacted with natural fear. There's a storm coming up. It may swamp the boat. It may sink. We may drown. Natural fear, it arises. But when they finally got so scared, they went and woke Jesus up. He's like, oh, you of little faith. You see, here's the difference. The disciples forgot who was in the boat with them. They were never at danger. They were never at risk. But rather than think about who was in the boat, they were looking at what they saw, the winds and the waves. And in one of the most just wonderful stories told in the New Testament, Jesus stands to his feet, probably grabbed the mast of the sail, and said, peace. And you know, the scriptures tell us that the winds and the waves ceased immediately. Somebody told me one day Jesus did two miracles, the winds and the waves ceased. I said, no, he did one. The winds ceased And then the wave ceased because the wind ceased, but anyway. And then can you recall what the disciples said among themselves? You remember what they said? What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? God's in control. I thought about this. If this virus drives us to our knees, if this virus forces some of our politicians to begin to work together, if this virus helps bring America back to a consciousness of God, then I see why God allowed it. Maybe we were just getting a little too big for our britches. And God said, let me teach you a little bit. But the first thing Paul says, don't worry about anything. I'm in prison here. I'm okay. Where you are, well, that's all right. And then look at what Paul says. Then Paul says, instead. That means we have a choice. When circumstances arise that make many people fear and be anxious, we don't have to do it. You can choose to be at peace. You can choose a route that's going to be calm. Life is a choice. The disciples chose to focus on the storm rather than focus on Jesus. Worry is optional. It's not part of God's plan for us. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, addressing people that likely day to day were uncertain where their food was coming from, where would they get their clothing, he gave the illustration of the flowers of the field that God clothes and the birds of the air that God provides. And he basically is telling them, don't be anxious for the future. I've got the future. I will take care of you. This thing of being anxious and worried and fearful is not God's plan. We must resist, and it is a temptation to fall into worry. This sermon series I've been preaching is about traps that we fall into. We've talked about sexual traps, and have you ever known people trapped in sexual bondage? I know I have, and I know that whenever I speak to a group of people, they're likely those that are struggling with it. We've talked about bitterness and how it is such a trap that ensnares people because they can't forgive. We've talked about the trap of materialism. I've got to have more, got to have bigger. That's where I'm going to get my joy, and it just stifles our life in God. Worry is a trap. It is a snare that'll make your life miserable. If you want to find something to worry about, they're plentiful. Is your car going to start in the morning? Are you sure? We don't have any idea what the future holds. You probably have heard this story, but when this happened to me, it just, at the time, it just kind of, all I did was laugh. Woman at our church in Alabama had a son named Bobby. Bobby, I'll tell you, all you guys named Bobby, I'm concerned about you. She had a son named Bobby. Bobby was in his early 20s, and Bobby was always getting into trouble. I'll have to be honest. He was always with wrong crowd. He got picked up by the cops a couple times for things. He had got in trouble. Oh, and he worried Marie to death. I mean, I would get calls from her every couple of days. Oh, Brother Ken, Bobby this, Bobby that, Bobby this, Bobby that. And she was giving herself ulcers, worried. Then one day she calls me. She says, "Brother Ken, Bobby's up to something." I said, "Well, what's happening?" She said, "The last couple of weeks, he's come home every night about 8:30 or 9, and he sits in here and watches TV with us." She said, I think he might come to church with us Sunday." She said, "Brother Ken, he's up to something no good. I'm worried to death about him." That was her life. If it was not fearful, she'd make it fearful. We do not know what's going to happen the next couple of weeks, or they're saying now a couple of months. We don't know. But here's what our strength comes from: this. We know God knows. And our life is in His hands. If nothing else, for you and I, it gives us a wonderful opportunity. Everybody I speak to, I say, "What do you think about the virus?" "Oh my." And they'll say, "What do you think?" I always say the same thing. I think God's in control and God's got it. And you know what? And most of them, they'll come back and say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian too." But why can't we use this opportunity to encourage people and speak to people, lift them up and do for them? We must be, concerned that we fall into that temptation, that snare of worry. Then Paul says this. Remember, don't be concerned or worried about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. So what Paul is saying, we should replace fear with prayer. Paul, while in prison, was not overly anxious because he prayed frequently. I was convicted last night. As we've shared with some of you, Ginger and I have a young friend that we are reaching out to. We think God's put her in our path. She's Muslim. Our prayer is that she'd come to faith in Christ. But when she came over last night and sat down on the couch and was visiting, and she said, "If y'all would excuse me, I need to go pray." She prays 5 times a day, as do most Muslims. How many times do you pray a day? We tend to want to talk about the problem rather than talk to the person who can do something about it. It's almost like we get pleasure out of what my father used to call just belly aching, complaining about what's going on in our life. This virus needs to drive us to our knees far more often than we find ourselves now. It needs to have us praying for the health of our elected officials, and you need to pray for the health of our president. He is definitely in that high risk group at his age. We need to pray for our public officials. We need to pray for the politicians that this might somehow get them seeing eye to eye. And you need to pray that God use this as an opportunity for you to speak into someone's life. We need to pray. Our president has called on us to make this a day of prayer. And you and I need to be people of prayer. Let me go to the final and the longest section of the passage. Paul, again, addressing the church at Philippi, which is going through difficult times. Paul is in prison, encouraging people going through difficult times, telling them you shouldn't worry all the time. Instead, you should pray. And then he says, if you do this, Paul is almost like an attorney that presents a case. He's taken everything sequential and logical. You don't have to worry. You can pray, and if you pray, this is what happens. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. And in the end, peace is what we need. Peace brings calm and confidence to the soul. Worry, on the other hand, and won't you understand, please, worry is a snare. It is a trap. Again, you've known people who are those proverbial worry warts. They worry about everything. But here's what happens. I looked online. It increases blood pressure. It contributes to heart disease, sleeplessness, poor emotions, stress. It has very negative cardiovascular effects. Just worry. Paul says, you don't have to. But what you've got to do is pray. You can't just wish it away. Are you concerned that you may not have provisions? Pray about it. Tell God about it. And not just a quick, God, I'm concerned, thank you, amen. Get along with God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him long enough that you feel His confidence in an answer to you. We have a choice. We can be worried, or instead we can pray and we experience peace. I have on the back of your outlines today, and I hope that you'll take those home with you, 4 things I'm going to ask you to do. Have we got those? The first one is talk to God about your needs. Pray. Pray before, now, I don't know if you do this or not. A wonderful thing to do is when you wake up every morning, turn to the side of your bed, drop over your feet, but stop there lest you hit the floor, and pray before your feet go to the floor. God, I surrender this day to you. God, this day isn't about me, it's about you. And spend a brief while just talking to God and praying. And then if you can, when you head toward the shower, begin a song. Begin the day with God. Pray, pray early, pray frequent, pray often, and pray with others. Number 2, speak to others about God's sovereignty. We understand that God's in control. Those who do not know Him think that maybe the government's in control. Doesn't that scare you? Encourage others about God's love and control will also strengthen your faith. One thing I learned early on as a Christian, when I testify of faith, it builds my faith. If I say to someone, I believe God's in control, I feel stronger. And it encourages them. And there likely is nobody in the grocery store when you're pushing your cart along that you can't encourage. Some people are scared, and maybe you should pray with them. But God is in control. Let's use this wonderful opportunity to speak to others. And as we mentioned earlier today, maybe to serve others. Can you think of that person that you should check on? Maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody just that lives around the corner and you just don't know if they have family. Number three, memorize scriptures. And I am going to ask this of you. The passage that we have just looked at, I want you to take home your outlines for the day. And I want you to memorize that passage. Some of you remembered the passage. Those of you who were members of Wesleyan Bible Church, y'all memorized it about 30 years ago. Take it home and memorize that passage. And I have others listed on the back of your bulletins for today. And number four, read God's Word. Before the service, Marlene told me that whenever she watches too much news coverage, it makes her anxious. Well, that makes sense. It's all bad news. And I think she's probably smart. Maybe we need to do what Phil said and go to the CDC website and get some actual information instead of listen to the pundits talk, and get in God's Word. Hard times are not uncommon. We just haven't had them a lot of times here in America. Maybe it's time that God rock our boat, that we might fall out of the boat and fall to our knees before Him. Read the Word of God. Let's pray. As we pray today, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you especially remember me in your prayers? I'm very anxious. I'm worried. Are the others? God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate your honesty. God sees the hand. God knows. Father, in that matchless name of Jesus, during this time of uncertainty in this nation we love so much, Lord, we pray for your peace. And Lord, I would pray that hearts might be turned to you. Lord, this could spark revival. And Father, we do pray that you would do something here in our midst, Lord. Father, we pray for those who are anxious that you would calm them. For those whose jobs are being impacted, maybe their income, that you would sustain them. And that, Father, you might replace our fear with faith, and faith that enables us to share the confidence we have in you. Help me as your child to be a witness of your power and of your sovereignty. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.